part one of the Buzz Bubble with Chuck Porter of Crispin, Porter, and Bogusky. Now back to our host, Kevin Kelly, on the Buzz Bubble.
Hi, and welcome back to the Buzz Bubble. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're here this week in sunny Miami, Florida, Coconut Grove, visiting Crispin, Porter, and Bogusky. We're here to talk to Chuck Porter today about everything from how he got to start the business to Burger King, departure of Alex, what's going on with Baby Carrots, what a great campaign, how Microsoft is going, what Chuck thinks about social media. It's going to be a fun time. So check it out. Let's go inside and get started. Chuck, thanks for climbing into the Buzz Bubble with me today. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I wanted to break the ice with something a little off-center. Maybe a story about the funniest, strangest, weirdest thing that's happened to you in all these years in advertising. Client meeting, pitch.
Actually, nothing funny has ever happened. I can't think, in my entire career, I can't think of anything funny. Let me think for a second. Everyone's teasing. No, I don't know. I mean, there's funny things. Funny things happen constantly.
For the number one at this point.
Well, I mean, I remember a couple of client things a long, long time ago. We were talking to Diet Right Cola. Remember Diet Right Cola? We were talking to Diet Right Cola. So they came for a meeting, and of course, the entire conference table was filled with Coke and Diet Coke. That was really dumb. That was really dumb. There was another thing the agency did. I didn't happen to be there, but it was one of the dumbest things the agency ever did. We were talking to Ricola, you know, the Ricola, the cough drops, and and they're Swiss, right? So I went to meet him in Switzerland, and I met with their marketing guy, and he said, you know, we're gonna do the pitch in New Jersey at our headquarters in New Jersey, and make very, very certain that everyone's punctual because we're talking to do. So the people who went up to do the pitch got lost driving from whatever the New York airport, and they were like an hour late for the meeting, for the Swiss meeting with Ricola, who said be here on time. And so they began to do the pitch, and somebody came in and began vacuuming the conference room that they were in. That was good. I wasn't there, but that's sort of become a legend around here.
Did you get that pitch?
You know, I don't remember.
Fair enough. So, speaking of remembering from way back, what's the quick roadmap from Chuck realizing he wants to be an ad guy to sitting in the chair today?
Well, you know, when I was in law school, when I was an undergraduate in college, I was an English major, and I took this advertising copywriting class because it was like at a good time of the day, and it was so easy that I thought, well, I'm going to major in advertising. So I majored in advertising, and I went to law school, and I realized while I was in law school that the people I was in advertising school with were funnier and more interesting and much better to hang out with. And so I decided to get into that. So I didn't really want to work for anyone. I don't know why. I just didn't want to work for anyone. So I was a freelancer for a long time, for about 16 years. And it was a great job. And I could windsurf in the afternoons. And then I think actually about three things happened. Number one, a guy that I went to high school with, we were best friends like in junior high, Pat Fallon, started an agency in Minneapolis, and he and I hung out together and we were friends, and he started this little agency, and I'm like, good luck. And like a year later, they got the Wall Street Journal and they became famous. And I'm like, I'm at least as smart as he is, so if he can, I can do that. And then another thing that happened is my wife, we had two daughters, and my wife got pregnant again. And she said, you know, maybe you should stay home for this one, because most of my clients are out of town. And I think I also realized, I was 39 years old, I think I realized, okay, advertising is not something that I'm doing just until I sell my screenplay. Apparently, this is what I do, so I better start taking it seriously. So I did the agency thing. So that's kind of...
And so what was the entry there? That time to start, you were... Well, Sam? Or?
Yeah, Sam Crispin had an agency here in Miami called Crispin Advertising, and he was a client of mine. He did a lot of travel and tourism stuff. He did like Jamaica Tourist Board and a bunch of airlines and Intercontinental Hotels. And we were in Jamaica one time meeting with the Jamaica Tourist Board. And after the meeting, we were drinking Red Stripe beer. And Sam said, you know, we've been talking about this for years. Why don't you come over and become a partner and be the creative director? And he gave me a pad, a legal pad. And he said, write down what you need to do that. So I wrote, I want this and this and this. And I gave it to him and he said, okay. And I said, I would like to write more things, you know. And And so, you know, so we did the deal and we became partners and wow. kind of went like that.
And what was that time frame around?
It was 88.
88. Mm-hmm.
A long time ago.
Long time ago.
Well, and then Sam left just about 4 years later. Sam left in about, I think, 92. I sort of bought him out because he was ready to retire. And so that's how that worked.
That was quick.
Moderately quick, yeah. It seemed like a long time at the time, but it was relatively quick.
4 years
yeah.
of advertising.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, how it all got started, and what got you excited on that piece of paper you wrote in 1988, what still gets you jazzed today about coming to the office each week, each day, you know, excited about the ad business and being an ad guy in 2011, some, I can't do math, years later?
You know, now that you mention it, not really anything. I think I quit. But I've enjoyed this.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah, and thanks for enlightening me.
I'll send
me.
You my
thank
psychological
you.
Fee. Later.
No, I don't know. It's for one thing, it's a habit. You know what I mean? I'm used to it. I don't really have anything else to do. It's not like I'm a
windsurfing,
you know.
Off the
well, yeah, I don't windsurf so much anymore. And I'm, you know, I bought all kinds of fly fishing gear, so I have all the gear, but I don't actually fly fish. So I think it's just like inertia, you know what I mean? It's just like, this is what I do. Honestly, I don't really put in an enormous number of hours anymore because we have a lot of really, really great people who do. But it's, you know, there are a lot of things I get a kick out of. What I get the biggest kick out of is when kids come into the business and do their first piece of work that is actually gonna be on the air, and they call their mom and say, oh my God, okay, you have to watch American Idol. I did that. That's pretty cool. And I mean, I still get a huge kick out of that.
So that's what. So now which brand is that? That the first kid just got his, none of the clients want to know that the kid did their first project on.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The clients just care about how
they
good,
just care how good
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna jump down to, speaking of,
now wait, are you jumping? Are you jumping down because I'm doing a terrible job on these questions?
So we're gonna wrap up.
Is that
up.
Why
that
you're jumping? Terrific. Okay, thank you.
No, logical. You said you're not in a ton of hours now, but you have an amazing leadership group here. Andrew Keller, Jeff Hicks, Rob Riley, these guys. How often do you guys get together and sit down? Because I know advertising is just bam, 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 and so infrequently people get the time to stop and think about company vision and, you know, where are we going next month, next year, in 2 years, you know. You guys get to maybe get away and talk about that stuff.
We do. First of all, I think it's important to realize we have no company vision. I mean, we don't. I mean, and that's actually the truth. I mean, we never have from day one. When I first came to the agency, I said, okay, I don't know how to run an agency. I never worked for an agency. I don't know how to run an agency. I don't know very much about financing. I'm a terrible negotiator. I'm not a schmoozer. I don't do lunch. I don't play golf. So the only thing I really know how to do is to try and do good work. So that's what this agency is going to do. Every day we're going to come in, we're going to try and do really good work, and hopefully everything else will work out, because I don't know how to do any of the rest of it. And when Alex came, I mean, I hired Alex Boguski about 6 months after I got here, and he felt the same way. He had never worked for an agency. So I said, look, what you and me know how to do is good work. Let's just do that and we'll see what happens. So. And I think that is a sort of a philosophy that it is still pretty prevalent here. That we, you know, I mean, we've been lucky. We've won a lot of awards. We try and forget that the next day. We try and say, okay, yesterday we won a Lion at Cannes. It was great. We celebrated, but it was yesterday, you know. So I think what we do every day is just try and do great work. And so far, we've been lucky. The future takes care of itself. So we don't really do a lot of strategizing and visualizing and stuff like that. We mostly just work. In terms of sort of the leadership group here getting together, we do it fairly frequently, but I think it's important to remember everybody's real busy and we don't really like each other that much. So, you know, but we do. We're actually this week we're meeting, the partners are all having a partners meeting in LA this week.
Okay.
And we do that a couple times a year. Mostly we just drink.
Okay. And it's becoming more challenging now. You bring everybody, you got people all over the world.
Yeah, well, we're big now. Yeah, we're big. Yeah. Imagine my surprise. We are, we're big.
you kind of answered my next question, you know, so
I anticipate.
Is it fair to say that this, you know, this non-planning approach, this idea of, you know, I have friends, I came from the music business, I have friends that are trained and I have friends that just are great musicians and they don't know all the rules and they don't, and they're usually the best musicians, the guys that didn't come up through the system. You said in an interview you were never really worked in another agency, so you don't know what it's supposed to look like. So it's kind of part of what makes you guys up.
I guess it is. I mean, people have said that to me before. You know, they've said, you know, you guys have a unique culture, and the reason is because you didn't know what you were doing. You just made it up as you went along. And I guess if I reflect on that, I mean, I think we were smart, and I think we probably had pretty good instincts. That sounds so immodest that we were smart. I don't think we were dumb, and I think that we had pretty good instincts, but I think mostly we just thought about when there were decisions to make, is this going to make the work better, and is this going to make the people here happier? And if it's not, probably we shouldn't do it, you know? We started out, when I first joined Crispin, they did timesheets, you know? All the people working in the agency timesheets, right? Everybody in the business does timesheets. So we did timesheets. Even after Sam left, for probably 10 years, everybody's doing these timesheets. And finally, one day we said, why are we doing these timesheets? Because everyone's supposed to do it. It's what you're supposed to do. So we went to all of our clients and said, you know, we're not going to do these timesheets anymore. And by and large, they said, how will you know how much the bill is? And we said, well, you know, you're not paying us for a time. You're paying us for the ideas. And we'll figure it out. And they all were like, okay, cool. So I think we just kind of made decisions that seemed to make sense, you know. I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. We'll see.
No, it was funny. I think I go to all these agencies and do these interviews, and nobody's got a roadmap. That's just, you know, well, this is how the agency business works. They're all a little different. They all, half of them kind of say, yeah, we don't have, we go, we come to work, and tomorrow we'll come to work again. And
yeah.
We'll figure it out as we go.
So what you're saying is we're not as different as we think we are.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, that's okay with me. I'll tell you who has, at least in my experience, who has sort of roadmaps and strategic plans and like that are the networks, you know, like Omnicom and IPG and even our MDC network. They would love, because they want to plan, you know, they like to plan because they're public companies and they like to be able to predict and project.
Sure.
And so they come in and say, look, we've got to, you know, we got to figure out a way to create some projections here and then meet them. And we're like, you know, we'll project whatever you want, you know, it's all boost. Hey, what numbers do you want? We'll put it down, yeah. Because it's a flaky business, you know.
That's it for part one with Chuck Porter of CPB. Tune in next week for part two.
And I thought it would be easy. I thought, okay, all right, I know how to do this, you know. So I can pop into, if they have another agency, and say, you should do this and this and this and do. And I really thought that, you know. And it's so totally not true. And I realized after about a year and a half of you know, sort of frustration, I realized the only way to make a great agency is one client at a time, one ad at a time, one meeting at a time, every day.
Next week on The Buzz Bubble.